The Cardinals are 7-3 since the break, but are you seeing the progress you want to see? We would like to have you leave us a mic drop with the 101 ESPN app. You feel like the Cardinals are turning things around, or do you think against teams like the Pirates and the Reds, this is just a mirage? Use the mic drop feature with the 101 ESPN app, and we want to hear from you later in the show.
You do need to beat the Pirates and the Reds if you want to make your way to the postseason. That's what good teams do. They take care of business against teams that are not as good as they are, and so far the Cardinals are doing that, at least lately. So they're 2.5 games out of the Central Division, the top spot there. They are behind the Cubs and Brewers, and they are a half game back in the wild card race. That's where they are when we talk to you here on July 22nd.
Tonight, the Cardinals will send Daniel Ponce de Leon to the mound against Trevor Williams of the Buccos. Williams this season is 3-3 with a 5.17, but earlier in the season, he went 7 strong innings against the Cardinals. He allowed 1 run. He did allow 9 hits, struck out 5, and walked only 1, and that's been his performance against the Cardinals. So they'll have their hands full tonight, and the Cardinals will send out a lineup that includes Tommy Edman leading off at third base, Dexter Fowler hitting second and right. Paul Goldschmidt is back at first base today. Then O'Neill, DeYoung, Wonger, Munoz in center field tonight. Matt Wieters behind the plate and De Leon on the mound. Ponce De Leon. So no Harrison Bader and no Jose Martinez in the outfield.
Well, that's interesting to me. I got to be honest with you, Randy. I'm not a huge fan of Edman leading off at the moment. Somebody whose on base percentage is pretty low. It's under 300. That's not the guy I want there. I do like the idea of Dexter Fowler there. We kicked that around a little bit on Friday, and I think we've talked about it in the past as well. A 344 on-base percentage. What you're looking for is somebody who can get on in front of Paul Goldschmidt. Edman right now doesn't really fit that profile, so it's not ideal, not for me. But I do like the fact Fowler's hitting in front of him.
The trade deadline is next week today at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. In his Mondays with Mo segment, Dan asked about what the Cardinals might be looking for when the trading deadline hits.
You know, as we enter the trading deadline, I think we would look to see if there was an upgrade on the left side of the bullpen to complement Miller, but not something that we feel like we if we don't do, we have failed. It's just something that we are exploring. And so we'll just continue to look at ways to add depth to that. I think the key thing for us when you're looking at bullpen help right now would be to try to acquire people also with options, so you have some flexibility, because we are getting to a point now where our hands are a bit tied in some areas. So trying to create a little flexibility would make sense.
So a young left-hander with options that they can move back and forth between St. Louis and Memphis.
Which is something I'm guessing a lot of teams are looking for.
And a lot of
right
teams
now
don't have.
Yeah.
There's not many of those guys running around.
It's going to be really difficult for them to do that. I still think they do pick up a reliever. It may not even be a lefty. I think they'd like to, but it might just have to be somebody who's good at getting lefties out. Maybe that's what they're going to do. Andrew Miller, by the way, has pitched a whole lot better.
Yeah,
lately.
He has been better.
He does look a lot like the guy they thought they were getting when they signed him.
We've talked a lot about the Cardinals being hot. There is no hotter team in baseball than the San Francisco Giants, who are now at 500. They're only 2 games behind the Cardinals in the wild card hunt. And at MLB Network Radio, Jim Duquette talked about the situation the Giants are in approaching the deadline and how they can't trade Madison Bumgarner now.
To me, you ride out what you have with the Giants. They have come this far. They've won, and they had to win, what, 15 of 18 to get to 500? So it's been a heavy, heavy lift. But now that you've come this far, you can't tear. Can you really tear this thing down? Can you really trade Madison Bumgarner at this point?
Well, you got another week to make the decision.
You do have another week, and, you know, the schedule's going to be difficult. Yeah, you got a little tougher schedule. I think they play Chicago and Boston. So they could very easily be 5 under by the end of this. And that, okay, you know, your decision is made. But right now, you can't be that guy. You can't trade Madison Bumgarner right now.
And I don't know, and I haven't read what sort of dialogue the Giants have had with Bumgarner about an extension, but I do agree with that. I think for a lot of reasons, you can't tear that team down when it's as hot as it is.
They are 2 games behind the Cardinals right now. in terms of the wild card. So that puts them 2.5 out of a wild card spot. The Brewers have the second spot. Nationals are in the wild card right now. And we were talking about this in the office. Remember us discussing Max Scherzer a couple of weeks ago, and maybe the Nats should get rid of him. Well, they're in a wild card spot.
Yeah,
so
in the first wild card spot.
Scherzer is going nowhere. And we should also keep in mind something we've brought up in the past, that Bumgarner does have that no-trade clause, and the Cardinals are one of the teams on it. And I don't think it's because he doesn't want to come to St. Louis, but I think it's because he understands that could be a team the Giants would talk to, and he wants some leverage. And he's got it now. So if they want to make a deal happen, he has to be appeased in some way. But I don't know if the Giants do it either. Maybe the next few days will dictate. But I would not be surprised if he ends up staying in San Francisco.
This is going to be a really fun trade deadline for fans. Now, you might not like what the Cardinals do, but because there is only one deadline, there might not be as many high-profile superstar guys traded. But it'll be interesting to see the first time how teams treat this and whether or not a team like San Francisco, a team like Colorado that – in previous years, if you're within four, you stay in the hunt and you say, okay, maybe we'll do something at the August deadline. You have to declare now. You have to decide what you are.
That you do. And maybe what'll happen, and I would not be surprised if this does happen, is most of the activity will take place in the last 48 to 24 hours before the deadline. The teams are going to wait until the last possible minute to give up on their seasons. Therefore, they're going to wait until the last possible minute to give up their players. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
I wouldn't either.
If all the deals happen on like the 30th and 31st.
Which would be fantastic.
That would be fun.
I would like that.
Yeah.
Good news for St. Louis and Bradley Beal. Wizards GM Tommy Shepard is going to offer Beal a three-year, $111 million maximum contract extension upon Beal becoming eligible to sign on Friday. Shepard told ESPN that he wants to give Beal the extension, and John Wall is going to miss the entire season, so they want to have their one big star on the roster, and Beal is a big NBA star.
And there you go. He's got a big contract, $111 mil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could eat off that probably.
I think so.
There's a and I just saw it a couple of weeks ago. There's a sports complex that's being built here
in Hazelwood. It's it's the old Mills shopping mall that he is a partner in and turning it into a sportsplex. And they're going to have baseball and soccer, and they're going to keep the ice rink open over there. And Bradley Beal is a big part of that. So congratulations to him on that too. He's always given back to St. Louis, and now with $111 million, he'll be able to do even more.
How about $111 mil at 26 years old?
Pretty good.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
And but also, he can do something I can't do, which is be good at sports.
Yeah.
So, and there's that.
He's a great guy, too.
Yeah. Oh, come on. I do things for some people.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Randy, you need a favor?
Yeah, sure.
What do you need?
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
All right. And a note from the NFL, DJ Durkin, who was fired by the University of Maryland because of a really, what people around the operation said was a toxic atmosphere in the program. And it was an atmosphere of humiliation and intimidation. DJ Durkin is now helping the Atlanta Falcons during training camp. There was a lot of blowback last year when Nick Saban hired Durkin as an advisor. And Nick Saban even wanted to stay away from the blowback and the fallout from having DJ Durkin on his staff, and now he's helping out the Falcons.
Well, you know what? They probably needed DJ Durkin when they were in the midst of blowing that 24-point lead, don't you think?
Yeah, he would have toughened him up a little bit.
Yeah, I think that he's the guy to help you weather the storm.
Yeah.
The Patriots storm in the Super Bowl.
What it is, ultimately, though, is that there is no shame in the NFL. It doesn't matter what you have done and who you have done it to. If you can help the NFL produce, Ray Rice was done helping the NFL produce and they pretty much got him out of the league. If you can help the NFL produce, it doesn't matter what you've done, you're going to have a gig.
That's pretty much it. Pretty much the only spot that you can lose your job, you've got to be really, really bad. You have to be a terrible, terrible person to lose your job in the NFL permanently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get fired by somebody or cut, but someone else is going to give you an opportunity. It doesn't really happen as often in college.
Well, and either be a terrible person or provide less than optimum optics for the league, like Kaepernick. those are the only two things, because they obviously don't want to be attacked by either side. And so it's optics or it's being really – I don't think even if you're really, really bad. I mean, they brought the NFL brought Greg Hardy back.
Yeah, but and they allowed Tyreek Hill to stay in.
Yeah,
and right. I know you're going to have Chiefs fans go fly off the handle. Yeah. Because there was no evidence. Well, that doesn't mean he wasn't a bad guy. He did threaten her.
There was,
we heard it.
There was evidence against Kareem Hunt, and he's going to be back in the league, too.
Yeah.
So, those are your hot topics of the day on 101 ESPN. Next up, Mariano Rivera and Lee Smith made their way into the Hall of Fame over the weekend, and it was about time for a couple of guys who are more than worthy. That's next on 101 ESPN.